101.7 FM.
Thank you for tuning in today to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Today's broadcast is a pre-recorded broadcast, so we will not be opening the phone lines. Please stay tuned to the end of the broadcast for additional information on First Conservative Baptist Church and Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. And together, let's face the issues.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We look forward to your conversation. We're dealing with an issue today that I think sometimes not recognized, not talked about, not understood among the Christians. There are a number of things that we could talk about in the realm of biblical Christianity and spiritual life that is that I believe is a deficit in so many Christians today. And the main thing, if I can be very forthright at the outset of the broadcast, multitudes of Christians own a Bible, many more than one Bible, but they do not know the depth and the breadth of the knowledge that's in the Scripture that God wants us to know. He's given us the 66 books that we call the B-I-B-L-E. And yet multitudes are satisfied to know John 3:16 and rarely anything beyond that. So what we're talking about today points to the fact that so many Christians are anemic, illiterate, uneducated, untrained in what the Scripture says. And may I simply go to the bottom line? It's because of a lack, L-A-C-K, of exegetical biblical preaching and teaching in our New Testament churches. Most churches today, they can tell you about God's love and how wonderful they feel when they go to church and how God makes them feel good and how comfortable it is, etc., etc., etc. But if you were to ask them theological, doctrinal, biblical questions, rarely would you get correct biblical answers. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the need for biblical knowledge, the need for biblical understanding, the need to look at Scripture as a whole and look at a chronological understanding of Scripture. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, there's a chronology in the Scripture. It is God's progressive revelation of himself to man. And it's pointing out what God has done, is doing, and shall do. And it's in that order. The shall do comes into the eschatological prophetic aspect of future tense, future dealings with the nation of Israel and the globe in general. And we'll talk about that today because it fits in. What about scoffers and preppers? You ever heard of scoffers? Scripture talks about scoffers. What about preppers? I don't think the word preppers you find in the Scripture, but there are a lot of people today, if I can simply explain it at the outset so you know where we're going, there are a lot of people today, a lot of Christians today, that feel that the Christian will go through the tribulation. So they've got to do massive preparation, growing food, hoarding food products, having hideaways so that you can get away from the police during the days of the tribulation that want to handcuff you, drag you in, and put the mark of the beast on your head or your hand. Now, I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but I'm simply giving you an overview of where we're going. Ladies and gentlemen, across the Christian, all Christian denominational lines today, we find some very, very grave, serious, major theological deficits in the hearts and the lives of Christians. Most will agree that we're living in the last of the last days before the Lord Jesus Christ returns, although we have a few denominations that even say that we're living in the days spoken of in the book of Revelation. You'd be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've been there, perhaps your pastor said this, that we're living in the day of the four horsemen. We're living in the day when the red horse rides out. We're living in the day that we see those things talked about in Revelation are taking place. I'm here to tell you, we are not, hear me, we're not living in the days of tribulation and in the days of Revelation. We're not in the tribulation era. Yes, we're suffering persecution as Christians. It's the word thalipsis, pressure, tribulation, problems, difficulties, but it's not the seven-year tribulation. So we're going to try to segregate and talk about the different aspects of that today. And it's our prayer that you'll call in, join in the dialogue and discussion, asking your questions. There's not anything, no such thing as a bad question, but we'd love to hear from you. And after the monologue this morning, we're going to ask you to call 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, as we've said for so many years, the opening monologue on this broadcast, we go back to the truth book, the B-I-B-L-E, as in Vacation Bible School it used to be called. And if we find the Bible, the truth book, we find Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the scripture says, thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a pretty lengthy period of time. Howbeit, we might not understand the fact that there will be a debate about what is truth. What is truth? The secularist George Orwell said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factually true today. Yet we find, according to the latest statistics, most younger Americans say, and I'm looking at the headline, most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, 55% of that age group say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a sad scenario, but we need to get back to the fundamentals of truth. What does the Word of God say? The Bible does not contain the truth. It is truth. It is truth, fundamentally truth. And when you try to bifurcate truth, you've got, as I call it, a half-truth as a whole lie. We need to go back to truth. I'm looking at a headline that says Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And the article goes in detail talking about how truth is not sought after. Truth is not found, and this article says, in government and in media and academia. And I find those three areas today are soaking, swimming in, half-truth, whole lies, and a bifurcation of what is real truth. And we find that in D.C. on both sides of the aisle. We find that today when we talk about anything that's militarily, anything today that's social, anything that's economical, anything that's in relationship to world events, there's a mindset that there's no absolute in it. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day, that we defend the truth. Standing for truth, you'll not always be welcomed in the circle around you if you stand for truth, but I can assure you that's the best place to stand, is in the centrality of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the homeowner brand as well as the professional landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flies the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. Tools for Time, toolfortime.com, toolfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, a brief balance of the monologue. We're going to talk about it then. I say we. Dr. Phelps is here in the studio with me. Dr. Davis was not able to join us today. He may have the privilege and opportunity of calling in and by telephone join us in a part of the broadcast. But Dr. Phelps, thank you for joining me today. Thank you for being prepared for us to talk about some very serious theological doctrinal issues. When we talk about the issues, what is it, without getting into the details of where we're going, what is the greatest need today so that there will not be the deficit in Christian thought about these very serious things? How can that be cured? What is the need? What is the source of that problem?
Jesus said to his disciples and to those who were listening, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And I think we might say, although it's not in that context, we might say that can be applied today to people who do not continue in the Word of God, who have abandoned the Scriptures, who have abandoned the truth, and are in ignorance of the things that God has prepared for us for the future. We need to know the truth of the Word of God. We need to know the truth of things to come. It's called eschatology in the theological circles. And most of the problems that people have today is a serious problem of interpretation.
Yes.
Wrong interpretation. As we study the Scriptures, the best method of understanding the Scriptures is what we call exposition. We find the aim of the text, and the word I'm looking at is meaning. We need the author's intended meaning. And we know that God has written his word by his Holy Spirit. It's called inspiration. By exposition, the true meaning is determined by the author of the Scriptures, not by the reader. And so as we expose or do the exposition of Scriptures, we simply explain what it says. And people understand and know the truth. So we find that there's another method of interpreting Scriptures that is quite often used by many. It's called the imposition of the Scriptures, or teaching which causes people to misunderstand what's read from the Bible. It's a wrong method of imposing the reader's imagined meaning upon the words of the text, and it's called eisegesis. So we need to know what the Bible says. We need to know what God intended from any text of the Scriptures, and that's only done as we seek God's help and not the help of others. The Bible tells us in Psalm 25, verse 5, that David prayed like this: "Lord, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for you're the God of my salvation. On thee do I rest all the day."
Amen.
So let's practice that. Let's ask God to help us to understand the Word of God, and you are sure to get the aim of the text, the true meaning of the Scriptures.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Dr. Phelps. Let me ask you a couple of other questions leading into and developing the foundation for us to talk about this issue today. The issue today that we're talking about, what about scoffers and preppers? We're going to talk about that in just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Phelps, I've heard people say, well, Christians have said, well, I've never been taught the difference. I didn't know about eschatology. I didn't know about context and the proper understanding. I didn't know anything about what you and I understand as hermeneutics, the art and science of biblical interpretation. Multitudes of Christians today are anemic in the Word. Now, my question is this: what is the cause? Is it the individual's problem or lack, or is it because of what is taught in the pulpits and the lack of proper teaching from the pulpits, or is it both? Explain that to our listeners.
Dr. Jungle, I think it's both. We have many churches today that do not properly interpret the Scriptures. They are promoting false teaching. Mm-hmm. That's as simple as I can state it. But on the other hand, individuals need to get into a church that teaches the truth of the Word of God, that have a proper view of things to come. Mm-hmm. Because we are in the last days of this age of grace.
That's right.
But we're not in the age of the book of the Revelation yet.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We're waiting for the rapture.
Absolutely.
We're waiting for Jesus to come like he promised. Then those things that we read about in the book of the Revelation will begin to happen.
Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, another question. And ladies and gentlemen, we're trying to build the foundation so you'll understand more perfectly what we're talking about when we talk about, what about scoffers? And that word scoffers we'll discuss in a moment. What about preppers? What does it mean to be a Christian prepper? What does that mean? Dr. Phelps, when we talked about, and you just answered it so succinctly, but a question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered, if a person gets saved, may I quote it, state it this way, when a person gets saved, should there be a hunger to know the book called the Bible, or is it something that's optional, where a person can say, well, I don't have to study that, I'm saved, that's all I need to do? And secondly, and inextricably linked with that, is it possible for a saved person to follow the voice of a false shepherd? And I go back to John, the 10th chapter. My sheep hear, oikos, hear my voice. They follow me, and the voice of another shepherd, another etros, a different shepherd, they will not follow. Explain that to our listeners, and what you see is the pertinent factor in that.
What Jesus was saying in John chapter 10 is that God's people have ears that hear spiritual things. Mm-hmm. And they have like intuition. They can know when they're hearing the truth. Mm-hmm. When we hear the voice of the shepherd, we'll recognize it. Mm-hmm. Sheep know the voice of the shepherd.
Absolutely.
And the other part of that that I want to talk about is that it is the will of God that we grow up spiritually.
Right.
God fashions us in such a way that we have a hunger for the Word of God. Peter said a hunger for the milk of the Word of God. And just as we grow physically, we have this hunger for food so that we grow up. We become mature. It is true also in the spiritual sense. That we have a spiritual growth. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, talks about that. God has staffed, if I may use that word, the church, with teachers, with preachers, evangelists, singers, and so forth, so that we grow up spiritually. Listen to Ephesians 4. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That verse 13 is talking about God's will that we grow up as a Christian. We grow up and become more like Jesus, which is the will of God for all of us. God wants us to grow up spiritually,
absolutely,
mature in the faith.
Absolutely. And just as the Apostle Paul talked about in that growing up process, you need a teacher, a pedagogy, one that's going to be the teacher. But then we should get to the point where we have been trained in the Word and we understand the Word. But ladies and gentlemen, what we're trying to set the stage for is to talk about, what about scoffers and preppers? We're going to get into that in just a moment. Dr. Phelps, when I understand what we're talking about, and I'm so have such a fastidious look at it that I believe we need to try to communicate that to our listeners, the need not to just say, well, I'm saved, but to know what the Bible says, and we need to see it chronologically. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look, I talk about the term chronologically. I'm talking about the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. Then we see the 7 years of tribulation, then the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the thousand-year millennial reign, that thousand and millennial, that millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. The 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, talks about the rapture of the church. Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 18 talks about the 7 years of tribulation. Chapter 19 of Revelation is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 20 of the book of the Revelation is the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then chapter 21 and 22 is that place called heaven and going into eternity. It's that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but I want us to understand that's the chronology. And if we get things out of chronology, we will not be able to get the right understanding. Correct, Dr. Phelps?
There is nothing more valuable to a Christian than the truth of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing that we should treasure more than knowing the truth of the Word of God. Truth is the vital element we need to build faith according to the Scriptures.
Absolutely.
If we don't have truth, we're going to then not only be in error, we'll be ignorant of the truth, and we will not be walking in the truth.
Right. And according to Psalms, it's precept upon precept.
Yes.
It's building the building blocks of understanding the Scripture. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we look at the chronology of what is going to take place, how it's going to take place, when it's going to take place, we need to look at Scripture to understand that. And that Scripture, if we have what is called today replacement theology. That is where the church is now spiritual Israel, and God's no longer dealing with Israel. We're going to talk about that in just a moment, ladies and gentlemen, the differentiation between Israel and the church. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel is the chosen people of God. And in the New Testament, the Christian, we are the elect ones. Old Testament, the Jewish people are the elect ones, according to the Scripture. So, Dr. Phelps, today we're going to talk about the Christians that are not biblically alert, so many of them. There are two things that we must address and explain about the text and conversation today. Why do we have scoffers questioning the rapture of the church? Why do we have scoffers today questioning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? And will the Christians go through the tribulation? Those are the two major questions. Ladies and gentlemen, will the Christian suffer in the tribulation? Because if the Christian is going to suffer in the tribulation, then this term prepper comes into effect. Let me just read you, ladies and gentlemen, a headline from some of my research. How will Christians be protected from the great tribulation? This article reads, Jesus warned his people to flee when the abomination of desolation occurs. Why are they to flee? Was Jesus describing the rapture or something very, very different? In fact, this writer goes on to say, if the rapture really is real, then why in the fleeing the abomination of desolation, why would you want to go into the mountains? Why would you seek to pack your things? Why would being pregnant be an issue? Why would winter weather be a concern? Why would it matter if it's on the Sabbath day? Ladies and gentlemen, it is because they're reading a text in Matthew 24. They're reading a text, beginning with about verse 15 and following. They're reading a text out of context as to who it applies, how it applies, and when it applies. That's as simple as I can put it. We're going to get into greater detail about that, but we're talking about those, ladies and gentlemen, that will challenge the rapture and the return of Jesus. That is the scoffers. Then we're going to talk about those that are the preppers. That's preparation. I'm looking at a headline, Dr. Phelps, the ultimate prep infrastructure guide to protect your family. It's about 15 pages of all of the material, all the equipment, all the preparation that a Christian needs to do to prepare for the tribulation. So, Dr. Phelps, the bottom line is, these two questions, I believe, are joined at the hip. If we do not have a right interpretation of the scripture, do not have a right chronology, then the mindset is the Christian will go through the tribulation, and therefore the secondary portion of this, the Christian must do some preparation to be able to survive and to live during the tribulation. Ladies and gentlemen, I may be jumping ahead of where I want to go, but I've got good news for you. If you're saved, you'll not go through the tribulation, not one day of the tribulation. Dr. Phelps, let's go back to the first premise of the issues today. What is it about the scoffers? What does that mean, that there'll be scoffers in the last days? In fact, that is found in 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4. Read that for our listeners and then explain that to us. The scoffers, 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4.
Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.
What is that saying? Is that applicable today? Because it says clearly, it gives the context as to when and what. Explain that to our listeners.
Peter is trying to tell us that there will come people who will be scoffing at the truth, mm-hmm. who will deny that God has delivered us from the wrath to come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10.
Yes.
God has delivered us from the wrath to come. And that word wrath can be applied or understood to mean the tribulation,
mm-hmm.
the days when God will deal with an unbelieving world. And he's also saying that they don't understand the Old Testament truth about what has taken place.
Mm-hmm.
The flood, for example, that's alluded to there.
Well,
they don't understand the Bible, so they shouldn't be in the business of trying to inform us what to do in the future.
That's right. Well, one of the things that you find, Dr. Phelps, and I want our listeners to understand it, there's scoffers that will basically say, well, you Christians have been talking about Jesus coming back for thousands of years. He's not come back yet. I don't believe it goes back to the challenge. As in Genesis 3, yea, hath God said. Ladies and gentlemen, there has always been a challenge to the Word of God. Its veracity, its efficacy, and the benefit to the child of God. There's a challenge today, ladies and gentlemen, and it's coming out of, unfortunately, Dr. Phelps, a challenge coming out of the pulpits many times in relationship to the truth of the Word of God. I believe we have anemic, illiterate, unlearned Christians today that's depending on pastors to teach them the Word, and so many times the pastors are the ones that are tiptoeing around the reality of the Word and talking about God's love, not God's judgment, God's justice, and the need for Christians to understand the Word of God. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's time as Christians, we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. The responsibility is on the shoulders of every Christian to study the word, understand the word, understand who's written, as you said earlier, who is the writing to, why is it written, who is the audience, and how it should be applied in a chronological sense that we understand with a literal interpretation, not an allegorical interpretation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today an issue that I believe is very valid. What about the scoffers and preppers? The scoffers are those that are challenge the word and will make fun of the word and will disbelieve when God's word says this will happen and that will happen and the other. The scoffers will say, no, it won't. Yea, hath God said, as Satan asked in Genesis, the third chapter. We need to understand God's word is relevant, real, and applicable today. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the need to study the word, to know the word, and not just depend upon what somebody might say in relationship to it. The question then that we lead into, will the Christian, will the saved person live in the days of the 7 years of tribulation? Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the top of the hour news break right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY-FM.